Hello again, this is Richard Allibone with a welcome to my regular listeners on webtalkradio.net and also to any new listeners. This week I'm talking to a lady who has spent many years teaching autistic children. And what is autism, you might ask? Autism varies very widely. In some people it is barely noticeable, where a person is perhaps a slow learner as a child, or has a slight problem with relationships, or tends to look at the world in a different way to the average person. But a severely autistic child cannot understand normal life. Perhaps he cannot talk. He might exhibit repetitive behaviour or have difficulty in movement control. The symptoms vary enormously. Some even become a genius at one particular thing. But many autistic children need a special understanding and training, and this is where the paranormal comes into it. Some teachers use a special empathy which gets through to the children, whereby they understand the teacher without any words being spoken. I would call it telepathy, but it's very difficult to be precise about what is happening. If you Google autism and telepathy, you'll see that this is a well-known fact about autism, and there are many books about it. So let's meet my guest today, who has spent 20 years teaching these children and making use of the power of telepathy where she could. Her name is Mary Ann Harrington. Hello, Mary Ann.
Hi, Richard.
Hello. It's nice to that you could come and speak to me today. All about autistic children, which I believe you've spent a lot of time in the past teaching them and training them and so on.
Yes, I have. Both autistic children, and currently I'm working with autistic adults too.
Perhaps you could start off by telling our viewers roughly the sort of problems and difficulties that autistic children have when it is severe. I mean, people have varying degrees of autism, varying from something which is not noticeable to something which takes over their lives, in fact.
And speaking of the most severe, I found them to be absolutely fascinating and probably the thrust of my work and interest. The nonverbal population with significant motor and sensory problems usually go hand in hand. And what I have found is that they have, they seem to be more in touch with spirit than actually integrated in their bodies, which brings about a lot of benefits and, you know, significant deficits.
And they pick up things from people like yourself non-verbally,
yes.
And this is quite fascinating. Mind to mind or telepathy is my main interest in this is telepathy, and I do know that some people don't like to call it that. You call it a spirit thing.
I'm not quite sure what to call it. Truthfully, I don't know if telepathy best suits it, but it's as good a word as any. It is mind-to-mind communication, or for me, it almost feels like a blending of energy. Like we're connecting at a higher realm of consciousness and becoming kind of in a free-flowing dance with each other, where that type of communication is available. It has been mentioned to me lately that possibly we're, by doing this blending, we're tapping into the same source at the same time. I'm not really quite sure what it is, but I know it benefits the person with autism, as well as it has benefited myself. It has helped me to become more in touch with higher realms. And at the same time, I think it has helped them descend more into their physical bodies. Because we have a way of communicating now. We have a shared language that is not always normally there between the parent and child, or caregivers who mean very well, but just have not opened themselves up to this possibility, this preferred way of connecting.
Yeah. And over the years, you've managed to train, I suppose, yourself, but anyway, to get used to this idea and to be able to communicate fairly quickly with a new child when you.
Yes, it seems to be, they seem to recognize in me that I know that they know that I'm able to do this and I'm open to it. And I think in terms of a parent, what I would suggest is to tell their child that they realize that they're communicating differently and explain to them that they don't necessarily understand, you know, telepathically themselves. But they're willing to learn. They're willing to serve as their bridge, and they're willing to acknowledge that. That in itself, I think, takes a burden off the child. Thinking that they have to learn our language system because they're coming from a whole different reality, and they don't understand why we don't understand. So just that simple process of telling them that and acknowledging their intelligence and acknowledging their abilities, I think does a lot to just improve the relationship and the connection.
Yes, I understand. But you say the carers and parents very often don't appreciate this. Do they sometimes learn from yourself how better to communicate, do you think?
I have tried with, you know, I was a classroom teacher mainly, and obviously the parents that with their children did do that. I did try to explain to them and share with them. For some parents, it makes sense. Some parents already have a telepathic type of connection with their children. Others are not really open to it. I think society is changing now and more people are coming forth with this message. And I'm hoping, at least in the spiritual type communities, people are becoming more aware and more open. And you're seeing more people coming forth and writing about their own experiences. So I think it will become more commonplace. But no, it's been a lot of banging your head against the wall in some instances, considering I've been aware of this since probably the late 80s. So, and sometimes the children will do it for me very well and then not do it with their parents. And that can be frustrating too. So it depends. They don't necessarily do it with everybody, and it isn't necessarily have anything to do with their closest relationship or the fact they can totally love their parents. But for some reason, it's easier for them to connect with some people like myself than others. But I think everybody, once they're aware of this, of their way of connection, of connecting, can continue, you know, to broaden their own base of understanding through, you know, meditation, and especially if they meditate with their child and join energy with them. That's what pulled me up. It wasn't something that I set out to do. Just being in their presence and meditating with them really helped me. And if parents start becoming more open and aware of that, that in its own self will help them, I think.
You mentioned the word meditation. Do you consciously sit quietly, perhaps holding their hands or something, getting them in the right frame of mind? This helps the communication.
I do it both ways. Sometimes I've meditated with my kids, interspersing the more grounded ones with those who might be more agitated, so that we almost balance out into one common rhythm. It's almost like an entrainment process. And I certainly have done it one-on-one with myself and another child. Many times I've had, you know, 8 to 14 kids in a class. So I've had to almost set that type of balance and almost set a strong rhythm or a meditative type of rhythm, so that we're all kind of flowing in the same frequency. If you do it individually, of course, you know, it is easier. I also sit in meditation. I've probably done this for the last 11 years, on and off. I've gone through periods of time where I've not been that consistent, where I try and sit in meditation with the autism mind in my own meditation. For example, I try to do it at 11:11 in the morning and 11:11 at night, just right now. That's a chosen time where I call in what I would consider that vibration of being half out of their bodies, half in spirit. I may call in specific, obviously, individuals I've worked with and just the general population as a whole. If you look at some of my online writings where the question and answer sections, those were written in that situation mainly, where I would just sit down in meditation, call them in, and ask a question. They would give me the response. It would be similar to what somebody might be doing in terms of channeling, only I'm not necessarily going to the other realm. I'm going to the autism realm, which is kind of a bridge between the two. You know, they're half physical and they're half in spirit. So that is where I've learned, although I am educated in autism and I've had many, many classes and, you know, I have a master's degree and many 24 credits beyond that specific to autism, I've learned nothing other than what I've learned from the children through meditation and through their actions and by watching them. I shouldn't say nothing, but I would say the majority of everything I learned was accepting them as my teachers and learning from them. And that's kind of what they've taught me. And I take what they say very seriously.
How do you get on in a class situation? You mentioned you have classes. This is more the older children or adults, maybe.
Right now, I'm a retired teacher, so I'm not doing that. I'm working specifically with one adult woman now that I'm finding absolutely fascinating, and it's, you know, I've been doing this for so many years and been open to it for so many years. It's amazing that you can still be. They can bring you to a new level of awareness. But for many years, yes, I was in a classroom situation. And it was all different ability levels within the classroom. I gravitated towards the nonverbal students, of course. But I didn't have that much time to necessarily sit in meditation with them and practice these techniques. Although I, you know, they still manage to show them to me, you know, through things like facilitated communication, facilitated writing and drawing, and just frequently surprising me with their own way of accommodating their own systems. But otherwise, I was, you know, your traditional teacher trying to help them get through the day, become more acclimated to their physical surroundings, doing adaptive daily living skills, providing academics where I could. This was just something that I found almost instantly when I first walked into their presence. It's like they were looking for me and I found them. Or it was kind of amazing. The first time I did walk into a room, I was told the kids were doing things that they had never done before. And someone asked me why. And I remember I said, well, probably because I didn't know they couldn't. And then I was called into another room to sub. And this girl who had never talked in school before, I sat in her chair. She said, Marianne, she'd been there since she was 4 and she was 12. She said, Marianne, you're sitting in my chair. There had been reports from her mother that she had spoken at home, but nobody really believed that because they'd never heard it. So, you know, the kids started giving me signs right away that this is where I was supposed to be. So I kind of followed that. And I realized how much they had to teach. And I still realize how much they have to teach. And we're at the very beginnings of this and how much we have to learn. But yes. Opening yourself to back to what you were saying, to telepathy, to understand that they are doing a mind-to-mind, almost instantaneous transfer Or if they are helping you tap into the same source. I don't even exactly know how it works, but I know it does work. Just accepting that aspect of it really kind of opens you up to a different way of relating to them and everything else, if that makes any sense. It's something that nobody understands it really unless they've had some experience on some level of that type of communication, I believe.
Yeah. Well, that's true. I had, when I was very little, my mother and I used to play a mind game, and that convinced me very much of the reality of telepathy. So I've always been a believer, and so I do find it very, very interesting that people like yourself with this special gift, I suppose it is, that you're unable to understand and communicate with autistic people.
I don't want to say that it's a special gift. I think it's just a knowing. Once you have the knowing, I think you can develop the gift. Like I said, perhaps I was chosen, but then again, I would think that every family was chosen by these individuals too, and that they can open to this if they're willing and good, and the things that are still being presented to me just seem normal to me at this point. But if I had never experienced them, let's say 25 years ago, it wouldn't make sense to me either.
No, it's nice to hear you use the word normal, because you have managed to make it a normal part of your life, and it helps with the autistic people. They perhaps learn that they can communicate mentally with some people, but not everyone. Maybe it encourages them to communicate with their family.
Yeah.
At this point, Marianne, I'm going to break in to analyze what you've been saying about communication. Rather than speech and sound, which many autistic children don't understand, you are able to connect by an unconscious shared language. They don't understand why we don't understand them, and that causes them to ignore most people. It does seem that they are aware of that channel for instinct, which we all make use of before we are born, and which controls the way minds develop, complete with an operating system. It seems to me that autism is due to difficulties with that operating system, which causes lack of coordination in speech or bodily movements. The child becomes aware of the telepathic channel, which we all have, but we're not aware of it because we don't use it. So in order to communicate with autistic children or adults, it helps to be aware of this and to encourage that non-verbal communication. Here in England, we have many special schools for autistic children, but my research shows that they are run by people who close their minds to the whole idea of non-verbal communication, and I think that's a big mistake. Clearly, in the US, things are very different, and as Marianne says, in the US there is a growing awareness and acceptance of a human ability for mind-to-mind communication. You only have to look on the internet at autism and telepathy to see that there are a range of books on autism which all accept the use of non-verbal mind-to-mind communication in teaching. Now, Marianne, can you please tell us how that communication works?
To be perfectly honest, I don't know what it is. You know what I mean? It just seems that they're in touch with something we're not, whether you want to call it universal mind, zero point field, higher level of consciousness, God. I don't know what it is, but their consciousness is more expansive, and they're trying to bring it into physical reality, some of those who choose to. And what I'm trying to do is aid them in that process. So far, nobody has become totally proficient who is that far out there in my world. nor have I become totally proficient in theirs. But I think we have both, you know, doing much better than we would have without knowing each other, if that makes any sense.
Yeah,
they're more grounded, and I'm more able to go up. So it's kind of, I almost picture it like going up and down a fire pole, kind of blending in the middle. They're pulling me up, I'm inching them down a little, and we're trying to both stay comfortable.
Yeah, I realize there's much more understanding nowadays than there was perhaps 20, 50 mm-hmm. years ago. And there's quite a few books out. There's quite a lot of people doing this sort of training, as you have learned to do. A friend of yours has just published a book.
I can recommend a couple of books because I myself don't particularly like to write. I do have my online articles, and I also would like to recommend Child of Eternity. It was written by Christy Jordy and Adriana Rocha back in, I think, 1995 or 96. Back then, Adriana and her mother had a lot to say. So those are two out there that I would recommend right now. There's somebody called Susie Miller who's doing some trainings now, who communicates telepathically with autistic kids out in Arizona. So more people are coming to the forefront, and you'll see more channels like Esther Hicks and so forth they're starting to talk about these things now. There was a time when I would go on the internet and be able to find no one. And Bill Stillman, he's another one. He wrote The God Connection. He's another one.
Yes. Will Stillman, that's right. He's written quite a few books, hasn't he?
Yeah. And, you know, he's mentioned it in his book. So those are some. And we're all basically saying, yes, they have some kind of spiritual connection. And it's absolutely amazing. And you feel awe-inspired once you start looking at them this way. And you feel blessed to be in their company. And that's the difference. It changes your way of perceiving them, and it changes the way you interact with them, and it changes the level of respect they receive, and it's just a whole different viewing, and with that comes growth in your own spiritual awareness, because that's their reward. I mean, that's the gift to you that you're getting for the interaction, and the more people who come out, and you know, like I said, I've been saying that for years, we're still waiting for that 100th monkey, but I think it's coming closer and closer. Oh, and on Facebook, there's Lori Shayer. She has, you know, the Gifts of Autism now. It's a website that, you know, also has a lot of viewers. And in England, Spirit Guide Network. I know I am a columnist there and have submitted some things. And there's other articles, interesting articles and YouTubes that I found on there. So, yeah, it's getting more plentiful. And Art Golden in Israel, his son works with some Hasidic rabbis, you know, bringing information through. So it's more plentiful. He's been at it for a while, too. So it's just a matter of more people saying the same thing and coming from different sources, because I'm not the only one being worked with. I think we're all being worked with. And it's just sharing that information and sharing your experiences and not being afraid to come out and say that this is what my child is doing and this is what my experience is. And because the more people who do that, the more apt scientists and everybody else is going to take it seriously. And because I think they're here to help expand our consciousness and bring more light and love into our lives. It's all about coming from a feeling state and a, you know, unconditional love and interconnectedness. And the messages are pretty similar throughout, I think you'll find.
There has to be the right frame of mind and love somewhere along the line in order that the connection is made, I'm sure.
Making that every day with their parents, you know, and their caregivers.
And before we wind up, I wonder if I could ask you if you've had experienced telepathy with friends or family over the years at all?
Well, what can I say? A little bit. And with some people, I think for me, although I'm changing with the current woman I'm working with, I think I'm a stronger sender than a receiver. Mm-hmm. And I think possibly that's why it's worked well with the kids. I know for a fact, and I can quantitatively prove, you know, that they're receiving what I'm sending. I'm, privately, I can maybe show you some examples. But yeah. I have not had as much confidence that I'm receiving as well as I'm sending. So with normal people, you're asking me, yes, with some. And I've also done it with verbal people with autism at higher ends of the spectrum, but who are still pretty moderate. The real more Asperger's type kids, not necessarily. They would be in awe too. They would say things like, how are they doing that? You know what I mean? But I have with some normal people, if I limit the field, like if I say I'm just thinking of a color, or I'm thinking of a number, or I'm thinking of a shape, yes. But not to the extent that these kids are doing it where they're just prolific in their writing and it's just flowing through. You know what I mean? And I'm hearing it at the same time.
Well, it's a thing which only happens very occasionally with some people, but it's nice to know that you had a few experiences and but you've been able to train yourself to be a sender, and which was what was necessary in the teaching situation. Well, I have to thank you very much for talking to me. It's been very interesting, and I look on the internet.
If you type in Marianne Harrington and autism, you'll pull up a lot of articles, either designs, or you'll pull up my website, web.mac.com/MA Harrington, I guess it is. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yes, I have looked at some of those. Okay, righto, well, thank you again. Bye-bye. Yeah.
Bye-bye.
So I hope you've got my message about this interesting topic of autism. I'm always saying that telepathy is quite normal, and today's guest has shown us that telepathy is more normal in autistic people than in the rest of the population. There is a wide spectrum of conditions labelled as autism, sometimes referred to as the autistic spectrum disorder, ASD, and some being called Asperger's. It's generally agreed that the prevalence of ASD is about 10 in 1,000 people. That's 1% of the population worldwide. In the past, it was totally misunderstood and likened to mental retardation. But modern understanding does not seek a cure, but believes autism should be accepted as a difference and not treated as a disorder, although clearly special training is sometimes necessary. Which brings us back to my special interest in all this, and that is telepathy. Not only do autistic people communicate through mind talking, but they sometimes appear to communicate with animals. This is partly because their minds seem to work in a similar way, so it's good for an autistic child to have a dog. But also there is evidence that there's more to it than that. An autistic seems to just know how animals act, think, and feel. In other words, they speak animal talk. I call it telepathy, and of course it's how dogs know when their owners are coming home, and that surely is telepathy. I like to think that the world is beginning to really believe that there is something called telepathy, and the evidence is that mind to mind is the same process that causes correct growth of a child, right through from conception to an adult. Have a look at my website, www.sublimity.org.uk, or even read my book Sublimity, which is about trance and telepathy. It's all about the evidence of telepathy, which leads to a theory of how and why it works. Today's guest has shown us yet another way that telepathy is a normal fact of life that she has learned to put to good use in helping autistic children and adults. I never cease to be amazed at the extent to which telepathy intrudes into all our lives, but at the same time, it is hidden from view, which is probably just as well. Thanks again to you, Mary Ann Harrington, for being such an interesting guest on my show. I'm Richard Alabone. Join me again next week to learn more ways that the paranormal is normal. That's it for this week on WebTalkRadio.net. Bye for now.